Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with you, along with my buddy John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Election day plus 1 week, huh? Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020, as we bring Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, available on your schedule, 24/7, buckmastershow.com for all of the podcasts. The Buckmaster Show Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line for a conversation with a member of the Arizona Commerce Authority, Duff Herron. Duff is the owner of the Tucson-based Ashland Group, a diversified investment company in commercial real estate, startup companies, and securities. Duff, how are you?
Very well. And Bill, good to be on your program.
Thank you very much. You've been involved in economic development, I was going to say in the intro, for decades. How long has it been, Duff?
You're spot on. I started back in 1990 for both the state and local developments. And in fact, in 1990, we had a big gathering the state put together up in Phoenix of over 300 people. We were, again, coming out of a recession. Coming out of that recession, the groups got together and worked on structuring economic development plans to get out of that recession and work forward towards economic growth. And they established what is a lot of the foundation of what we've done today. I, in fact, moved on from that set of meetings to being involved in the Tucson-based economic development group for several years and was chair of it. It was the predecessor to our Sonoran Corridor group of today. And then at the end of the 90s, I took a hiatus and went back to concentrating only on my business as far as what I was working on. But with appointments to boards of the U of A Tech Park and other activities, I again became active for the last several years, and now I'm on the Arizona Commerce Authority and very active.
Yeah, because I think that's where we first met when I was on Arizona Illustrated. Certainly when you became involved with the local economic development efforts in the 1990s. So let me ask you, Duff, what kind of level of success do you think we've had here in Tucson in the economic development arena?
We are on an upward swing. Even with what we're facing as the challenges of this last 9 or 10 months, it's somewhat surprising. But I'm going to first describe it in terms of a goal that we have, and that is more better-paying jobs. And indeed, we are in an upward swing. Companies that recently moved thousands of high-paying jobs here include names that we know, Caterpillar, who had a corporate headquarters for their mining division move here, and Raytheon. The engineering jobs and other jobs that related to it are again significantly above the median pay rate here in our community. And there are others that are moving. And in fact, I was talking to the folks over Sonoran Corridor, and Joe Snell tells me that they're averaging now an announcement every 14 days here. So things are on the upswing, but we are still unfulfilled as to where our destiny is.
Well, yeah, what kind of job do you think you talked about bringing high-paying jobs, but now we have certainly the pandemic in a big roadblock, I'm sure. But where do you see us going from here, Duff Herron?
Well, talent is starting to flow our way, partially, in fact, because of the pandemic, but also because Tucson is becoming known as a place that people like to be. And there are people moving in from the West Coast in particular and from other spots that have, you know, the type of talents that we like, younger people. You know, one announcement that just kind of shows it off is the Wow Fashions announcement, which is a Seattle-based fashions company that's bringing a lot of high-tech jobs. It's not just, you know, fashion and as far as looking at things. It's fashion as far as making things and making them differently and better. And I was just talking to the founder, Joy Rodolfo, and he is very excited about bringing very good jobs here, but also the fact that we will possibly have a $250 million new industry spring up here that will be good paying jobs. Now, further, you know, just statewide, you know, we have a $12 billion chip plant being planned in Mesa. We have a car manufacturer, Lucid Motors, in Casa Grande that is almost finished. Another potential car manufacturing company in the electric car manufacturing to do with Nikola. And that one's a little bit, right now, a little more in a pause moment, but certainly Lucid being at our neighboring county. Now, these things are very positive for our future growth.
So Sun Corridor, and how does that relationship work with the Arizona Commerce Authority? How does Sun Corridor here in Tucson, Sun Corridor Inc., and other economic development groups, is the Commerce Authority kind of an umbrella kind of agency, or how does that hierarchy work?
Well, it's a statewide Commerce Authority and cooperates with those local authorities like Sonoran Corridor. Let me give you a perfect example. Talking again about Raytheon and other, in fact, you know, Caterpillar. We've had a lot of assistance from Commerce Authority for that as our local agency. But we have the Sonoran Corridor with our local government agencies to make very important doing some very important work to bring it together. For example, you go Raytheon a few years ago put together, that is the Sonoran Corridor, put together a delegation, went to Huntsville, Alabama, to see what was positive down there at the Raytheon facilities there. And it was really instrumental in bringing the positive attitude for business that made Tucson even more attractive for more jobs from Raytheon. And you have to give credit not only to Sonoran Corridor for doing that, the assistance of people from the Commerce Authority and Pima County. I mean, Chuck Huckleberry was a very instrumental part of that delegation and going and seeing what was positive about what was being done down there and what business positive things we could do to keep and attract more the jobs that we want to have, those high-paying jobs here in Tucson. So those are examples of, and you know, going for the most recent announcement, WOW Fashions, you know, Rio Nuevo, Sun Corridor, the governor's office, the Arizona Commerce Authority, the Arizona Chamber, all worked together at various parts of this. And I was talking to Joey Rodolfo today and of WOW, and Sandra Watson of the Arizona Commerce Authority, and he were talking over the weekend. She was putting him in contact with one of the key banks of our state for doing financing here, and he was very both appreciative of that, but also took that as a very positive statement that he's wanted here, and the company's wanted here, and the jobs are wanted here.
We had the head of Saba on the program a week or so ago, and he said it's just unbelievable how many people from California and from Illinois, the Chicago area, are moving out here to Tucson during the pandemic and setting up for the post-pandemic times. Are you seeing the same thing, Duff Heron?
Well, very definitely. I'll tell you a personal anecdote. Our son and his wife, who have been in the high-tech industry in San Francisco and will still be in it, have just bought a house in Phoenix. They've moved back to Arizona. We wish they're in Tucson, but we move back to our state, and it's because they see it being a place they can work out of just as effectively if they were still in the Marina District in San Francisco. But on a broader scale, not just the pandemic, there's an overall sense that Arizona is a very positive place to live. It's both business-friendly, it's family-friendly, it's got a lot of things for young people to do, things for them to, you know, entertainment and otherwise. And, you know, I'm going to say another name here is because he's very important, Ali Farhang, who's done so much for us with the Arizona Bowl. He's also told me just very recently that we are younger person's attraction area, that he's seeing it through the Arizona Bowl, which is now one of only four bowls that are going to be on New Year's Eve, and through the fact that we have actually a lot more professional sports than I had thought of. Now that we, you know, we have professional soccer, we have professional football, you know, we and the PGA comes every year in February. You know, this is a town that has a lot to attract and keep young people, and what's going on downtown is part of that.
All right, Duff Herron, we're going to have to run. Where can people find out more?
Well, I'm going to give you my cell phone.
Okay.
I'm going to tell, and I'm going to do it in this way. I want our listeners who know those people who are decision makers with both local and national and regional companies to consider to call, and we will talk to those people, the ones that are in the high-paying, good jobs. We want them to know that we want to speak to them and that we're business friendly. My cell phone number is 520-906-3083. And if the listeners didn't get that the first time, they can certainly call you, Bill, and you'll give it to them.
I certainly will. Thank you very much, Duff Herron from the Arizona Commerce Authority. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. And if you want that number that Duff gave out, you can call 790-2040, and John will be happy to give you that number. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, what's going on? Kind of the thumb's going sideways, which means kind of flat on the market. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hard to believe that Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from Thursday. That means it's time to start thinking about what you would like for dessert. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, can take care of you with the pies. How about a Danish Kringle in a variety of flavors on Thanksgiving morning? And, of course, the dinner rolls. So now is the time to make that decision. Check out Mona's. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, or just stop in, get some of your pastries at Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, and put in your order now for Thanksgiving, which is just, let's see, only, 16 days away. Hard to believe.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is right now, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. So Monday we had President-elect Biden, that announcement being made on Saturday. So I think all of us are very curious to see how the markets were going to react. But then this news comes down, very encouraging news about a vaccine, and the market really went bananas.
Yeah, it did yesterday, and it was fun to watch because it way up.
Way.
At least the Dow was way up. I think it at one point 1,400 points or 1,500 points. And then by the close of business, it was down at a more reasonable, I can't even remember.
800
or so.
Was that because tech had some problems or tech stocks?
You know, it's always hard to know.
Yeah.
I mean, the pundits will try to explain movement in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Republicans will say that the Trump challenge to the election is causing optimism about...
So it could have been a variety of factors.
Yeah, it could have been a...
But anyway, it was a great day, 800 points.
So what I did this morning, just because I could,
mm-hmm.
was where are we month to date and where are we year to date in some of the indices that we normally follow when we're giving investment advice or discussing this with clients. The S&P, which is, of course, the broad-based 500 stocks, and these numbers are as of around 9 o'clock this morning, so they're a little bit out of date, but not much. Month to date, the S&P is up 8.3%, which is phenomenal for a month. But year-to-date, it's only up 9.3%.
Wow.
So what happened, of course, is that during the year, the COVID pandemic economic headwinds really did kind of slow things down. If we take a look at the Dow, which is what everybody looks at, first of all, you know, the Dow's up, the Dow's down. Month-to-date, we're actually up 10.3%. But year-to-date, we're up 2.7%. So the Dow is a laggard against 10-year averages or even 50-year averages. The S&P is down a tiny bit from the normal 11 or 12% that we would expect on a year-to-date basis. The NASDAQ on a month basis is up 5.3%, which you say, okay, fine, what's special about that? It's up 28% for the year. So the NASDAQ had some catching up to do and really did. For some reason, it's having trouble breaking through the 12,000 mark. But the NASDAQ, even though it's, you know, pulled back some and it's pulling back again today, seems to be catching up because it's tech heavy. And even with all the news around regulation of the tech sector, et cetera, the future of the galaxy.
Sure.
Is in high tech. It just
it is. Of course.
And so there's that. Because it's important for conservative investors, I also take a look at the overall bond, the general bond. And that's up 4.3% year to date and flat for the month. But you have to add the dividends. So when you add the dividends on the general bond, you're up to about 6.5% for the year.
Which is good.
Which is a very nice return for a conservative investor.
Yeah.
For those conservative investors who, you know, have some propensity to add a little bit more risk to their portfolio, what's called a junk bond or the more high dividend yielding bonds are up for the month about 2.4%, down interestingly for the year, yielding a yield overall. It's up 5.48 on the price of the security, but only up about 3%. So this year in total yield, we have a situation where riskier bonds are yielding less overall than the average bond is yielding. So for, you know, for our younger investors who are tech heavy and believe that things are doing what they should do, they are. For our more conservative older investors who are retired and don't want to take a lot of risk, you know, their returns are still pretty decent, certainly above what you'd get, say, in a T-bill.
In this pandemic year, people really don't want to take a lot of risk.
You know, I can't tell you that's true. Because of all the volatility and the volume that we're seeing in the markets, there are people out there, Bill, who think this is a great time to get positioned.
All right.
And now these are more risky people than what I would ever recommend here
you
on this
not,
show.
You would not recommend that risky behavior.
Well, yeah. Certainly not without careful consultation with your financial advisor.
Yes. So the Dow is really not living up to its yearly expectation, is
not
it?
Not this year.
Not this year.
Normally, when we take a look at since World War II, we can actually go back longer, but everything before World War II is so anomalous because of the Great Depression and the war, we see an average of between 11% and 12% annually.
Wow!
For the Dow.
That's
now.
Remember, so we're way off from that.
Well, no, we're on the Dow. We're way off.
Way off
so far
on that.
This year. Yeah. The thing to remember that averages are averages, which means if you've got your feet on a block of ice and your head in the oven, on average, you're fine.
Yes.
So in any given year, you can have ups and downs when you take a look at averages. What you try to do is draw a straight line, you know, through all those years of measurement and see where the average is. And that's at around 11 and 12%.
You know, this vaccine, though, Shelley, is really going to be a game changer. You've got to feel it's got to be a game changer, because when you think about the 90% is something no one thought that would be coming in.
Well, you're
90%
right.
90% effective.
Effective. Now, we don't know how long it lasts.
And in comparison, the flu shot is 50 to 60%, and on it goes. I think they were comparing it to, like, measles vaccine.
They were, yes.
Which is extremely effective at, like, 96 right. or 97%. That could be a real game changer.
It can. So let's assume that this is one of many vaccines that are going to be very effective against this virus.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime in 2021, the bulk of the population hopefully will have been vaccinated. And when that happens, we will no longer be fearing, you know, what happens when you go out and talk to people for our health. The question that is less clear is what changes has this pandemic brought to the economy that are going to be more or less permanent? For instance, are people going to be working from home now who used to work in offices? And what will that do to the rent markets and commercial real estate? Are people going to feel safe traveling long distances and being in places where they can't be so sure about their health?
Yeah.
You know, what's that going to do to travel? We will have seen a significant reduction in certain venues, for instance, in restaurants, also in arts organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when, you know, how does Broadway recover?
Yeah.
How does the Tucson Symphony recover?
Yeah.
So there are some longer term effects.
Definitely.
That are really hard to predict, but mm-hmm. we know there will be some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the recovery 2021 is going to be very interesting to watch to see how we'll all recover.
Right. And if that.
I hope we'll all recover.
You know, if you put a layer of yeah. turbulence on top of that, mm-hmm. because we have, you know, people saying the election was a fraud and, you know, the Biden administration isn't legitimate, you know, markets hate that.
I know. All right, Shelley, thank you so much. We will talk to you and see you in studio next week.
You bet.
All right, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I want to talk about Green Things real quickly. They are just going great guns over there, and they're really gearing up now, as I was talking about Thanksgiving 2 weeks away. The poinsettias are ready over at Green Things. They've got a couple of huge facilities just loaded with thousands of poinsettias over at Green Things. So check it out. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo. So their websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. 50 years and still growing at Green Things. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to talk travel, insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, the president and chief operating officer of one of Arizona's premier travel agencies, Bon Voyage Travel. They've been around since 1976. They have travel experts with generations upon generations of experience in creating a trip of a lifetime for you. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com is the website and the place, and should be the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you?
Bill, the clouds are breaking in regards to travel, my friend. Possibly the best two pieces of news we've had in 6 months.
I would agree.
To travel have happened here recently. Love to talk about it.
All right. There are two paths that I see, and I think you want to talk about that, that are leading the way, the pathways to the travel industry recovery. Yesterday's news on the vaccine being 90% effective, it just was really off the charts in a surprise factor. We had been told maybe 50 to 60% effective. Ryan, when you get into that 90% area, perhaps people who had been hesitant, maybe these are people that don't even take a flu shot because they've heard, well, it's not very effective, maybe 60%. This 90% is going to encourage a lot of people to take the shot.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's a game changer in regards to the world's view of the pandemic, right? And there's still a long runway to go before it's completed, before it's distributed, and we understand that we still want it to obviously work and not have side effects. But boy, what an announcement that came, because it does give people the confidence in knowing that they're protecting themselves. Is just about as best as you can expect. There really isn't going to be a foolproof vaccination of any kind. We've seen some historically that are pretty close in regards to eradicating things like smallpox. But this news yesterday from Pfizer is very exciting in the world of travel, and I know it won't unlock the travel doors tomorrow, but it's the first in a couple of things that needed to happen for people to have that level of confidence to roam free on this globe like we all do. It's just an innate thing I think we all have to travel, and that shows that the horizon is coming closer and closer with the vaccination information.
And then the CDC dropping the cruise ban. I want you to go into this. What's at stake here, Ryan Hansen?
You bet. I think it is important to talk about it in greater detail. The CDC, rightfully so, back on March 14th, put a ban on cruising. And why did they do that? Clearly, they wanted to get their arms around the situation that had creeped into a few cruises right in that time. The Diamond Princess was one. There was another outbreak on one of the Holland America ships. And they needed to do this to take the steps necessary to get the cruise line's attention to this situation, and that protocols needed to really be refined. New protocols need to be put in place. Those extensions lasted all the way until October 30th of the suspension of sailings. And what the CDC effectively did by allowing the suspension of sailings to expire on October 31st is it put in place a new set of protocols. And there's a few things that the CDC has asked all the cruise lines to do to become certified to sail again. One of those steps is they want the new itineraries that go out to be 7 days or fewer in length. That's enable to ensure that the start of this new cruising life that we have under the COVID situation is all taking into account public health considerations. Secondly, it's all about testing. The crew has to be tested multiple times. Passengers have to be tested multiple times. Embarkation, disembarkation, and that obviously test results are made aware. They're released. It's a transparent situation just so that there is any confirmation or suspicion of any testing. Positive cases can be dealt with. Clearly, all the protocols that we see on land must be included on the water as well. In fact, even more so as it relates to face coverings, physical distancing, entertainment and meal service spaces have to be set up accordingly. All of those protocols were already being put in place by the cruise lines. But then there needs to be agreements with shoreside operations as well. The CDC wants to see that when you step off ship in the port of call, that medical care agreements are met at the port level. And also, initially, we're going to see all excursions from cruise lines have to be cruise line excursions. That way they can ensure that these protocols are being made. So will your cruising experience be changed a little bit? Yes. And then that would be one way we can talk about it, Bill. I know you and I like to get off of a cruise ship and just wander.
Oh, yeah.
That may not happen for the first couple of months until all of these protocols are put in place and a little bit further down the road with understanding how the vaccination could help with these types of things. And then once all these protocols are put in place, the CDC has asked cruise lines to conduct simulated voyages with either volunteers or crew and other personnel that are associated with the cruise industry to test these protocols, make sure they function properly before they put the general public on one of their ships. And once the CDC then certifies these protocols are in place, cruising can happen again. Now, Bill, you may ask the next question. I'll play the role of interviewer and ask myself the question, how quickly can all of this be put in place?
Yep.
There's no doubt this is not going to happen in the next 30 days. It's probably at least a 60-day venture. But know that the cruise lines, and you and I have talked about this, have already been working diligently towards many, if not all, of these protocols because they've actually volunteered many of these protocols and saying that they do have things in place. So I still say it's probably a 60-day venture at the earliest before we see ships in earnest in the water again.
And what about schedules and what can Bon Voyage and your team, how can you help people that want to get back in the game in 2021? And there's a lot of pent-up demand, isn't there, Ryan Hansen?
There's a ton of pent-up demand, and that is one of the reasons why we see ourselves as experts in this space, and there's no better time to have an expert help you. It's not just these protocols, because you will probably have to have a negative test result for coronavirus before you step on, or proof of vaccination once that gets in place. But you will also want to know if I'm flying into a destination that has quarantine protocols or maybe steeper protocols, how do I know all that information? This is where our experts can help walk you through that. And then just the financial commitment, right? If I'm going to be putting down dollars towards a vacation, I want to know what happens if the cruise gets canceled. What happens if the hotel is shut down when I get there or right before I travel? This is where our experts can walk you through all of those things that are just as important as your health. You know, secondarily to your health, your financial investment on your vacation, you want to protect that. That's where we can help you.
What are your people? Are they looking at, do you have any schedules for 2021?
Well, and that's where it's interesting. The cruise lines are hopeful to be really operating again in earnest in the first part, maybe the first part of the second quarter of 2021. So we're selling 2021 like hotcakes because people are so excited to get going. And they do feel like the news of the day with the CDC announcement of the ban being lifted, the news of the week with the vaccination possibility on the very near horizon. People are going to want to get out. So we are selling 2021 and even beyond that, because I think some of the other people that want to just take it slow a little bit, 2022 is not as far as you think out there in the calendar from a vacation standpoint. But I think that's when we can really see normalcy be back in place.
All right, Ryan Hansen, we'll talk again in about 30 days, get you here certainly in December to get an update on how things are going. Ryan, always a pleasure, and folks can go to bvtravel.com. I'm going to tell you, and I'm telling our listeners, people know how I love to travel. There has probably, as we emerge from this, not probably, there will never be a better time to have a travel expert like somebody from Bon Voyage on your side in 2021.
We appreciate it, Bill, and happy Thanksgiving to you and Ann.
Thank you.
A chance to talk to you.
Thank you. We'll see you before Christmas. Thanks a lot. Ryan Hansen, the Buckmaster Show travel contributor, coming up next here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We will visit with Margaret Regan, longtime Tucson Weekly arts contributor, to talk about what she's got in the weekly and what's going on. There are some arts venues opening up we'll tell you about right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all the information you could possibly need about great places to stay and so many activities in Silver City, which is just a 3-hour drive from Tucson, east of Tucson. So you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again ready to open up the state to out-of-state visitors. Margaret Regan joins us now for her monthly arts report on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret has been writing about the arts for the Tucson Weekly really since 1991, I believe. She's the author of 2 prize-winning books on immigration, still available and doing well, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, a very highly acclaimed book, and then also a book that got a lot of publicity and still sells well, The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. Margaret, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Bill. I'm just outside on this beautiful day.
Yeah, it's outside. Lovely weather right now. We had Eric Holton on from True Concord, the Grammy-nominated choral group. He was with us on the show yesterday, and they've kind of decided to move forward. They've already had some concerts in an outdoor setting, and that's kind of the way things are going right now, right?
Yeah. The couple of things I want to talk to about today are about arts groups figuring it out. You know, how can they perform, or how can they exhibit art at this time when people are, our numbers are going up again for COVID, unfortunately. And so the advice from everybody, the people who know this stuff, the scientists, say being outside is much, much healthier than being in a building. So one of the things I wrote about for the Weekly this week is Ballet Tucson has come back to life.
Good.
And they're doing these mini pop-up dances in cute, outdoor venues. I went to the first one Saturday night. It was at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And what a magical night. That's such a beautiful place.
Yes.
But it was dark and it was that funny windy day. And the sky was just beautiful. And they had the gardens lit up and they performed, the dancers performed it was only for 20 minutes. That's part of the idea. They don't want people gathering too much, so they're making them short and sweet. But I just can't tell you, as I'm a big fan of dance. And gosh, last March was the last time that they performed at all. And, dancers need to do it to keep going and to keep their bodies going. And then, with hopes for the fall, that was dashed in the summer and they canceled the whole fall semester, as I like to call it, this semester. But here they are, coming back to life. They came up with this idea. They're doing 5 of these little pop-up performances. And the next one is Sunday at the Tucson Museum of Art out on the patio.
Do you need advance reservations for these?
Yes, you should get them, because that's what happened to me. I just sailed on over to the Botanical Gardens on Saturday night, and they said, "We're sold out." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, I'm writing about this. I need to see it." And they did find a ticket for me, but apparently, they only had about 50 people, and everybody's excited about going to see it again. So, yes, definitely, if you want to go to the Tucson Museum of Art this Sunday and see the show, you should look it up now and reserve your spot.
What's going on at the U of A campus with these? They're really huge projected images of local heroes.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, I haven't seen them yet, but it's called Monuments. And very interesting. As we've had so many royal battles about our public monuments all across the country. That's been a big issue this current year. So there was a U of A committee. I don't know if you know this whole thing. They changed everything around from the old arts venues at the U of A. They have a new thing called Arizona Arts Live. And it isn't going to be just about Centennial Hall anymore. They're going to do things outside, around town. That's the plan. Of course, you know, COVID has interrupted a little bit. But anyway, this is the beginning of Arizona Arts Live. They decided to do a very interesting project that's out in front of the Arizona State Museum. And they selected three living local heroes to honor, and they made these projections of the people's faces, giant size, and when you go over there, you see these huge faces up in the trees. And I guess probably you have to do it at night. I'm guessing you wouldn't really be able to see them that well, right?
I don't think so. Right.
And apparently the images move around. It's not just like a stationary statue. So, and let me just tell you, the people that they selected, you know, we don't have any any Civil War Confederate generals or anything, but we have Isabel Garcia, who's actually somebody I know. She's a long-time lawyer here in Tucson and a fierce advocate for migrant rights and human rights altogether. She helped form No More Deaths, and she's still with the Coalición de Derechos Humanos. So she's done a lot for people in Tucson. So here she is, having done this for many years, being honored. And another woman that I don't know, her name is Adiba Nelson. She's a black woman who advocates for disability rights, and she does speaking and writing, and she's the author of a children's book about a little disabled girl, because, you know, how often do you, as a child or, you know, somebody being read to, you don't see books about people who have disabilities. So that's pretty great. And then there's a guy that I do know about, Felipe Molina. He's a singer from the Yaqui group, Yoeme Yaqui. And he's, you know, been around Tucson for a really long time. So he sings and, you know, tries to keep the culture going, and apparently he wrote a whole dictionary, a Yoeme, that's what they call it, you know, the Yaqui language.
Yeah,
Yoeme.
Very interesting.
And he wrote a dictionary, English and Yoeme. So these are three people who have done wonderful things in our community, and there they are, floating above the above the buildings, so, right there in the University of Arizona.
Let me ask you real quickly, Margaret, about this Arizona Live. Is that kind of the way they're putting this these arts venues, like
yeah,
they were at Centennial Hall? And
yeah, well, right now nothing is happening inside Centennial Hall. They are doing some concerts that are online. You know, so they have that big space, and they can safely bring in the artists and the camera people. So that's only being used for that, as far as I know. But, you know, there's a new person in charge of what we used to call, old one? UA Presents.
Yeah, UA Presents.
Yeah, and he got here last year before all this happened with the virus, and he thought... He really fell in love with Tucson, he told me, and but he felt like the things that were being performed at Centennial Hall under the aegis of, you know, the arts program didn't really have much to do with the people living in Tucson. So he came up with this whole idea of doing things all around town, things that would be more accessible to more people. And because of that, they changed the name to Arizona Arts Live, and meaning that a lot of live things will be happening outside.
Okay.
So
we'll see how that goes.
First things, yeah.
All right, Margaret Regan, always a pleasure, and you'll be writing about those outdoor images coming up in the weekly, right?
Well, not this week. But,
okay.
The dancing is coming up this week.
All right. Margaret, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, you too, Bill. Thanks.
That's it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer-producer, John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon, everybody.